Blog Talk Radio.
Unconditionally. He loves us in our good. He loves us in our bad. He loves us in our indifference. He loves us because we are his and he is ours. We are blessed to be blessed. We are blessed to be blessings. We are sons and daughters of God. And so I can say is thank you, Lord. First and foremost, for waking me up this morning, clothed, as they say, in my right mind, with a pep in my step and joy of the Lord in my heart. For God is good and greatly to be praised. Thank you, Lord God, for this day that you have made. I rejoice and I'm glad in it. Lord God, I ask you to increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your sight. For Lord God, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. And I am your humble child. Thanking you for this word. Thanking you for your grace. And thanking you above all for your mercy toward us, your children. Your mercy toward us, those that are not great, but those that love you more than anything. I thank you, Father God, for gracious mercy that can only come through you. I thank you, Father God, for hope in a future and a new day that comes only from you. Thank you, God, for your grace, mercy, goodness, and kindness. Thank you for being a great and wonderful Father God. In the name of Christ Jesus, my Lord and Savior, I thank you. I praise you. I give you honor, and I give you glory. But you are the best dad ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. God is the best God and the best dad ever. There is no God like our God. You know, in certain circles it says he's an OG. He is. He is the best, and he loves us more than anything. How many times can someone say, I love you? How many times can someone say, you're wonderful? How many times can you tell God, you are omnipresent, you are my Father, and I am so grateful that you love me. I am so grateful that you care about me. I am so grateful to be your daughter, to be your son, to be in your family. We are in the family of God. Royalty. Hallelujah. We are royalty. We got to claim it and say it. I am royalty. We got to remember and believe it. I am royalty. I am a daughter of God. I am a son of God. He loves me. You got to start speaking the things that are, because you are important to God. I don't know who that was for this morning, but you needed to hear that you are important to God. You are important. You are important. So many times we're told we're nothing, nobody, you know, and I'm talking children, because our childhood sometimes can determine who we will be when we become adults. But I'm grateful. I am grateful that I had those lifting me up and not tearing me down. So I say to you today, lift someone up. Let them know, especially a child, that they are important, that they are of God's royal priesthood, and that they can do and be anything they want to be. Because when God is with us, nothing and no one can stand against us. Hallelujah. Let's get into our word this morning, family. Again, I thank Israel Houghton for the use of moving forward. And I thank God for all of you for tuning in with me as we move forward in the Word of God. And again, I would just tell everyone, if you have an opportunity, you know, please support our artists out there. Support Israel. Support Kurt. You know, support those that are spreading the word through their music, Fred and so many others, Cece and so many of our gospel artists. I was listening to Tim LaMann yesterday, and it just blessed my soul. So I say to you, support our artists, support those out there that are spreading, excuse me, the gospel through music. Love God, love God's people, hallelujah. And again, thanking God this morning for this wonderful word, and thanking him for being my Father God and your Father God, our Father God, who aren't in heaven. Hallowed be his name. Hallowed be his name. I say it again. Hallowed be his name. And we got a great word this morning. Time is just, as they say, passing by. Quickly and totally. And we are moving forward because God's word is true. So let's get started. As I say, let's get this party started. And today we're coming out of 1 Chronicles chapter 9 and chapter 10. And forgive me this morning for the audio. It might be a little fuzzy, so please forgive me. I hope everyone can hear me all right. And our word this morning is from, again, 1 Chronicles chapter 9 and chapter 10, verse 14. And it says, so all Israel was recorded for genealogy, and indeed they were inscribed in the book of the kings of Israel. But Judah was carried away captive to Babylon because of their unfaithfulness, and the first inhabitants who dwelt in their possession in their cities were Israelite priests, Levites, and the Nathans. Now in Jerusalem, the children of Judah dwelt, and some of the children of Benjamin, and of the children of Ephraim and Manasseh, Uttai, the son of Amihud, the son of Amari, the son of Amari, the son of Benai, of the descendants of Perez, the son of Judah, of the Shilonites, Asa, the firstborn, and his sons, of the sons of Zerah, Joel, their brethren, 690 of the sons of Benjamin, Shalu, the son of Meshullam, the son of Hodavai, the son of Hasaniah, Ebaniah, the son of Jerahim, Ehem, the son of Uzai, the son of Machari, Meshullam, the son of Shephatai, the son of Raul, the son of Imagi, and their brethren according to their generations, 956. All these men were heads of the fathers' houses of their fathers' houses. Of the priests, Jedidiah, Joarim, Jachin, Azariah, the son of Hilkani, the son of Meshullam, the son of Zadok, the son of Meraoth, the son of Ebatub. The officers were the house of God. Adiah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Pusher, the son of Melchijai, Misai, the son of Adal, the son of Jazariah, the son of Meshullam, the son of Meshullamites, the son of Immer, and their brethren, heads of their father's houses, 1,760. They were very able men for the work of the service of the house of God. Of the Levites, Shemaiah, the son of Heshab, the son of Ezekram, the son of Heshbai, and the sons of Mari, Barabbas, Heshera, and Gaelal, the Mithonite, the son of Micah, the son of Zachari, the son of Zachari, Esau, Obadiah, the son of Shemai, the sons of Gilead, the sons of Jethani, bear the sons of Asa, the sons of Ekani, who lived in the villages of the Netophahites. Again, we got a whole lot of the begat and who they belong to, because in the time of this word, it was important, your lineage. Because everybody, remember, were not supposed to be in the temple. God had set aside the temple for the Levites. And he made it very, very clear who they were and what they had to do. God did not play when it came to what everybody's assignment was. He gave assignments, and that's what he expected you to do, your assignment. We each have been given assignments by God, and we must do our assignment. We can't play around and I'll do it tomorrow, or I'll do it next week, or, you know, maybe I'll get it done. You know, no, we have to do what we are assigned to do, and we got to do our assignments. So many times people want to do what everybody else is doing. Well, I want to follow the crowd. We, as men and women of God, we can't follow the crowd. We can't do what everybody else is doing. We must do what we are called to do. We must do our assignment and only our assignment. You know, I can help you with yours, and you can help me with mine, but as far as who has to do it, you have to do it. I have to do it. We are all assigned a task by God. So whatever it is, you got to do it. These Levites, they each came from their father's houses, and they were doing what they were assigned to do because that was what God had called them to do. They were priests. They were the ones in charge of God's house. And they were educated. They were learned. And again, who were they after? Nebuchadnezzar wasn't after the peasants. He wasn't after the workers. He was after the royalty. Because if I can cut you off at the head, then I don't have to worry about anything else. Because I've gotten you where you stand. I've gotten you where you are. I've gotten your leadership. Again, when the enemy attacks a church or the church body, he doesn't attack just anybody. He goes first after the pastor. He goes first after the leader. He goes first after the ones that are in charge. And that's why we have to always stay prayed up. We got to stay prayed up because we are the target. Our pastors are the target. And that's why you pray them up. That's why you pray for your leaders. You know, so many times you hear people, you know, come for the, I call it the Sunday morning drive-through. Drive-through on Sunday, you know, get a quick word. Get mad if you're longer than a half an hour to 45 minutes. Get mad when church goes over 1 o'clock or church goes over 12:30 because, you know, I don't want to be, it don't take all that to be in church. But yet you can go to a movie. You can go to a game. You can go to everything else. You can sit. I have watched people sit and watch baseball for 4, 5, 6 hours. Because the game is going on so long and don't have no problem watching that baseball game. But put them in church and they get upset because it don't take all that. So all of these men, they had assignments in the house of God. Each one had to do what they were called to do. And they're giving you the lineage. The lineage is important. Their lineage is important. Who they belong to. Because only certain ones, again, could do what they were doing. So let's continue in this word, y'all. It is, I told y'all, even though it's a begotten, a lot of difficult pronunciations of names, it's still a great word of God. Verse number 19. Shalom, the son of Kiri, the son of Ephzathah, and the son of Korah, and his brother from his father's house and the Korites were in charge of the work of the service, gatekeepers of the tabernacle. Their fathers had been keepers of the entrance to the camp of the Lord, and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, had been the officer over them in time past. The Lord was with him. Zechariah, the son of Meshelemiah, was keeper of the door of the tabernacle of meeting. All those chosen as gatekeepers were 212. They were recorded by their genealogy in their villages. David and Samuel, the seer, had appointed them to their trusted office. So they and their children were in charge of the gates of the house of the Lord. I'd rather be a gatekeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. We got to understand the gatekeepers are important. And it says the gatekeepers were assigned to the four directions, the east, the west, the north, and their brethren in their villages had to come with them from time to time, 7 days. But in this trusted office were four chief gatekeepers. They were Levites, and they had charge over the chambers, the treasuries of the house of God, and they lodged all around the house of God because they had the responsibility, and they were in charge of opening it every morning.
Now, some of them were in charge of the serving vessels, for they brought them in, took them out by count. Some of them were appointed over the furnishings and over all the implements of the sanctuary and over the fine flour and the wine and the oil and the incense and the spices. And some of the sons of the priests made the appointment of the spice, made the anointment of the spices. Nethaniah of the Levites, the firstborn of Shalom the Korahite, had the trusted office over the things that were baked in the pans. And some of their brethren of the sons of the Korahites were in charge of preparing the showbread for every Sabbath. These are the singers, heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites, who judged in the chambers and were free from other duties, for they were employed in that work day and night. These heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites were heads throughout their generations. They dwelt at Jerusalem. Jael, the father of Gibeon, whose wife's name was Maachah, dwelt in Gibeon. His firstborn son was Abdon, then Zer, Kish, Baal, Ner, Nadab, Gidar, Ahio, Zechariah, and Miklot. And Miklot begot Shemin. And they also dwelt alongside their relatives in Jerusalem with their brethren. Ner begot Kish, Kish begot Saul, and Saul begot Jonathan. Mechashai, Abadab, and Esbal, the sons of Jonathan, was Merabel, Baal, and Merabel begot Micah. The son of Micah was Pithon, Melech, Dira, and Ahaz. And Ahaz begot Jerah. Jerah begot Elamet, Azmaveth, and Zamari. And Zamari begot Moza. Moza begot Benaiah, Raphiah, his son, and Elisha, the son, and Azel, his son. And Azel had six sons whose names were then Azirakim, Virtura, Ishmael, Shira, Obadiah, Hanani, and they were the sons of Azel. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell slain on Mount Gibeah. Then the Philistines followed hard after Saul and his sons, and the Philistines killed Jonathan, Abinadab, and Michashai, Saul's sons. The battle became fierce against Saul. The archers hit him, and he was wounded by the archers. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, "Draw your sword and thrust me through with it, lest these uncircumcised men come and abuse me." But his armor bearer would not, for he was greatly afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell on it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he also fell on his sword and died. So Saul and his three sons died, and all the house died together. And when all the men of Israel who were in the valley saw that they had fled and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook their cities and fled. Then the Philistines came and dwelt in them. So it happened the next day when the Philistines came to strip the slain that they found Saul and his sons fallen on Mount Gibeah. And they stripped him and took his head and his armor and sent word throughout the land of the Philistines to proclaim the news in their temple of their idols and among the people. Then they put his armor in the temple of their gods and fastened his head in the temple of Dagon. Gilead heard all that the Philistines had done to Saul. All the valiant men arose and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons, and they brought them to Gibeah and buried their bones under the tamarisk tree at Gibeah and fasted 7 days. So Saul died for his unfaithfulness, which he had committed against the Lord, because he did not keep the word of the Lord, and also because he consulted a medium for guidance. We don't go to mediums and seers and, you know, people that are not of God. We understand that in the olden days, prophets were seers. But we understand if there's a difference between a witch spirit, a difference between those that are mediums and those that are prophets. God has told us who not to go near. We are not to go near mediums. Somebody talking about I can talk to the dead, you better go and run the opposite direction. We better understand God is watching everything we do. You know, be careful. Don't get caught up in the occult. Get caught up in stuff you don't have any clue about. You know, just as we believe in angels, you better understand there are demons. There are that one-third of heaven that fell, and they are powerful. Don't get it twisted. We better understand. Don't play. Don't play with stuff you don't understand. These kids are hard and messing around with Ouija boards and doing things they have no business and don't understand. And then wondering why stuff starts to happen because they done open doors and windows and put cracks so that spirits can come in and take over. We better be careful. We have to be careful because the enemy is after us. If you believe in God, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you know him as your personal savior, you have a target on your back. But you got to pray up and believe. We can't have a Saul spirit where we go to call up the spirit of a deceased loved one to say, what should I do? You call on the Most High. Call on God. You call on his son, Jesus Christ. You look up and trust the Lord. We can't be dealing with the dead. We got to live. Because you shall live and not die. Is not what the word tells us. Be careful. And this is what I'm saying it one more time to put it in. So Saul died for his unfaithfulness, which he had committed against the Lord because he did not keep the word of the Lord and also because he consulted a medium for guidance, but he did not inquire of the Lord. Therefore, he killed him and turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse. Don't lose your blessing because you're too busy meddling around in things you have no business meddling around in. We got to pray. Prayer changes things. We got to love God above all things and trust God above all things. Don't mess with the dead. Leave the dead dead. Hallelujah. And this is what it says in 1 Chronicles 9:1. Judah was carried away captive to Babylon because of their unfaithfulness. While eager obedience brings blessing, stubborn disobedience brings judgment. Judah did not get dragged to Babylon because it lacked political power, military strength, diplomatic connections, or financial resources. Unfaithfulness to God caused the exile. We reap what we sow more than we sow and later than we sow. You reap what you sow. If you reap discontent and lies and distrust, then you're going to get it. And I'm speaking this word because God gave it to me. As a nation, we need to stop all this bigot back and forth craziness. I don't like you because you voted with the Democrats. I don't like you because you voted with the Republicans. I don't like you because your skin is white. I don't like you because your skin is black or brown. I don't like you because you came across the border. I don't like you because your mom or your dad was an immigrant and you happen to be a Catholic. I don't like you because you're a Muslim. I don't like you because you are leaning in a certain direction. But understand, we know that God has told us what to do. We got to trust God again. But the bottom line is the one thing God has told us to do is to love. We got to love each other. And all this hate and discontent and craziness is not of God. Don't claim your Christianity when you're acting unchristian. Don't claim you love God when you are hating your brother. You can't have it both ways. You either love God or you don't. You either love your neighbor as yourself or you don't. Because the bottom line is we will all be judged. I will be judged. You will be judged. We will all have a judgment, just like Saul was judged and lost everything, including his sons. We don't want to lose everything because of disobedience. It's time to go to work, family. And who do we work for? We work for God. And as we go into the next life lesson, I thank Dr. Charles Stanley for this wonderful, wonderful Bible that we are reading in a year. I thank God for this man. And I know there are those that vilify him and talk about him. Well, you know what? The devil is a lie. This man is saving souls and doing his job for God. And the first word it says here is 1 Chronicles 10:14. He did not inquire of the Lord, therefore he killed him and turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse. What does it say? He did not inquire of the Lord. We got to go to God for everything and speak it and ask it. You know, I gave my testimony yesterday. I lost my driver's license and my passport. Two of the things I need to fly to do anything. You have to have a driver's license to vote, to even cash a check. You got to have driver's license. And they should start asking for them when you come up with a credit card, because too many identities are stolen because people don't ask anymore for ID. If you just swipe it and go and steal. People do it all the time. But we trust God. But we don't inquire of the Lord. I looked all over my house before my trip. Could not find my driver's license. Looked in every purse I owned. Looked all over the place. Couldn't find it. But when I stopped on Monday, my day of rest that God had given me, he said, "You resting today." I called the police department. I called every place I had been on that week before to see if I may have left the license there. Nobody. Everybody, no. And me, a minister, I'm telling you, I kind of prayed. And I'm going to say it's the truth. The truth is the truth. Kind of prayed. But then when I took a minute, got into my meditation and prayed earnestly and faithfully, crying out to God, "Lord, you know I need my license. You know I can't lose my passport because it's too much information on it for identity thieves. Lord, you know that I need this information. Can you help me?" And I tell you this, not 10 minutes later, I'm hanging up stuff, getting some stuff together, you know, because there was some things I had thought I was taking with me on my trip and decided not to. Looked in the pocket of my blue jean jacket, and there was my driver's license and passport. All I could do was shout. All I could do was cry. All I could do was run around my house giving God praise, because I stopped myself from pity party to prayer. And I'm speaking for myself. I don't know about anybody else, but I know what God did for me. What was lost, I found it. Because I stopped doing the world stuff. Well, you got to call here, you got to check there, you got to do this, got to do that. No. What you got to do is pray. Lord, you know my needs. Lord, you know what I must do. Lord, I need your help. Lord, guide me. What do? You trust in the Lord. And this is what it says here. In all matters that require guidance, whether large or small, God wants to come to him, wants us to come to him first. If necessary, he will move heaven and earth to show us his will. Hallelujah. God, when God wants you to rest, he will make a way. He knew that if I had my license, I would have been driving. I would have like, no, y'all sit back. I got this. No, it wasn't meant for me to drive. It wasn't meant for me to take control and I'm this and I'm the mom and this is my car and all of that. Uh-uh. He wanted my sons to show me they were grown men and they could handle it, that they could do what they needed to do, and they did it, and they did it well. And I had to say thank you, Lord, for setting me down. Sometimes we want to take over the positions of the men in our lives when we need to sit down and be quiet for a minute, because sometimes we get too carried away. And I'm speaking to mamas here with sons. Let your sons be men. Let your sons do what they know they need to do. And what you do is sit down and give it to God. Whew, I don't know why I'm preaching this morning, but that's a word God gave me, that we got to be obedient and we got to go to God. We get too caught up in self and forget who our Father is. And as we continue in Psalm 77, verses 10 through 15, which is where our title comes from this morning. And it says this, and I said, this is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your works of your deeds. Your way, O God, is the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? And that is the title today. Who is so great a God as our God? And I tell you the answer, no one. No little G can go up to against our big G. No little G can go up against our big G. Our God is greater than anything. He created the heavens and the earth and all therein. He created the universe. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples. You have with your arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. Nobody greater. And that's the song I searched all over. Couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low. Still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater. Nobody greater than our God. There's nobody greater than God. And I'm talking the big G. Not this little G's running around trying to be all that. There's nobody greater than our God. And this is what Psalm 77 and 10, life lesson is, this is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. When hardship stalks us and we feel at our lowest point, it can bring great comfort to dwell on the fact that God never changes and he will always act on behalf of those who wait for him. Hallelujah. I say, wait, wait on the Lord. Proverbs 19:15-16, laziness casts one into deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. He who keeps the commandment keeps his soul, but he who is careless of his ways will die. Understand, we got to take things serious. Think about all the over 600,000 people in this nation in the last year have died from COVID. Many good people died from COVID. Many disobedient people died from COVID. Many unbelieving people died from COVID, called because it was their time. Others died because they was disobedient, just like Saul. Didn't trust God. Instead, they followed after man. Put man on a pedestal, made man better than God, decided they was going to follow whatever the men of this earth said, and not what thus says the Lord. God gives you what he gives you for a purpose and a reason. And if you stop and think, even in the days of the wanderers in the wilderness. God gave them edits on how to be hygienic, how to take care of things. If you stop and remember, he told them how to even dig the latrines, that they were far enough away. If someone had leprosy, they were sent away from the camp. If there was mold in the camp, it had to be destroyed. They had ways for everything. Do you not think God doesn't have the same thing for us? Why do you think he gave us doctors? Why do you think he gave us scientists? Why do you think he gave us the people with knowledge to heal? We understand that God is in charge, but God does create people to help. Did he not have gatekeepers? God could have took care of his temple. God could have destroyed the Babylonians. God could have destroyed the Philistines. God could have fought every battle that needed to be fought. But sometimes God wants you to stand on your two feet, trusting in him that all things are going to work out for your good, but knowing that you must trust God. But it says, like, he who is careless of his ways will die. Be careful. You know, don't get it twisted. We need to trust God. COVID is not over. It's not done. That's why there's all these different Delta now, I think it is, variant. We got to be careful. You got to still wear your mask when you're in crowds. You got to still. It's not even a still. It's, you should have always been washing your hands. You should. That's nothing that's new. You should have always been washing your hands. And I can speak this. I had the best winter I have ever had in years because of face masks. Not sucking in all the pollen and all the dust and all the dirt and all the diseases and colds and stuff out there. Since we have been maskless, I've been congested, and I'm wearing my mask because I can tell you when I go out and come back in, I feel better. So, because everybody is not vaccinated. Everybody is not a believer. Everybody is not trusting God. So they will do all kind of evil. We got to trust God and give him the glory. And I'm going to tell you about a man. And his name was Stephen. And he was awesome. He loved God. You know, and he went through. And we're going to go through. If you love God, understand, you're going to go through. Because there's so many out there that just don't like you. But you trust God. You lift your head up and you say, Lord, for you I live. And if it's my time to die, for you I die. Keep God first. And this is what it says. And now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because of their widows were neglected in the daily distributions. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Leaders got to lead, and they got to pray, and they got to be prepared to give the word. And it says this, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and Holy Spirit, Philip, Curious, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenius, and Nicholas, apostolite from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Note, they prayed before they laid hands. Don't lay hands on people unless you are prayed up. because you don't want some spirit attaching itself to you. And it says, then the word of God spread and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then there arose from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen of Cyrene and Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Then they secretly induced men to say, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. Liars. And they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him, seized him, and brought him to the council. They also set up false witnesses who said, this man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against the holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us. And all who sat in the council looking steadfastly at him saw his face as the face of an angel. Wow. The face of an angel. Because he loved God and had faith. And he didn't mind speaking truth to power. Hallelujah. We need more Stevens today. Acts 6 and 4, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Church leaders and teachers in particular must never skimp on their time spent in prayer and in God's word, since they will receive a stricter judgment. James 3 and 1, they need to make sure they stay close to God. Hallelujah. We can't play. We got to pray. And we got to stay in this word. Acts 6 and 11, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God, just as an opponent of Jesus instructed witnesses to testify falsely against the Lord. So the opponents of Stephen followed the same strategy. Interesting, neither man tried to refute the false charges because they knew that ultimately God would bring the truth to light. And he does every time. God will always bring the truth to light. Don't worry about what he said, she said. Don't worry about those folks talking about you, vilifying you, calling you all kinds of names. Understand, the truth will come into the light every time. God will make the truth come into the light every time. What's done in the dark always comes to light. God does not play. And he will bring his children through whatever your difficulty may be. Understand that God will see you through. Why? Because you are his sons and daughters, and he loves you. He loves us more than anything. We are blessed beyond measure to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. And I got a life question for you from Dr. Stanley. How can I praise God when life doesn't go well? And this is what Dr. Stanley said. And it says, when life twists and turns, take you down unexpected and difficult road, it can sometimes feel strange to praise the Lord, yet he seeks our praise in all things, whether they appear good to us or not. So how can you praise God when adversity finds its way into your life? First, remember that our God is good and always gives us ample reason to praise him. When you find yourself not wanting to praise him or not knowing how, try some of the following ideas. Make a list of blessings God has bestowed on you, from giving you friends and family to salvation in his son. Tell someone about your salvation experience, retelling the moment when God lovingly adopted you into his family helps you recall the beauty of his matchless grace. Read a psalm each day. David praised God through a hardship and great trial. We can learn from his example. I got to put a pin right there. If you stop and think, David says, I will praise the Lord at all times. Praises shall continually be in my mouth. He was going through, you think about it. He was anointed king, but he was chased for years. Not just a little while, for years he was chased by Saul. For years he had a death threat over his head. For years, but he never stopped trusting in God. He never gave up. Ample opportunities to kill Saul and end it, but he didn't. Help Saul in his troubles. Saul tried to kill him in his face, chased him down like a dog, but he never gave up on God. When he sinned, he repented, and God forgave him, but he never gave up on God, even when God took his child born in adultery. He didn't give up on God. Even when his son came after him to take the kingdom from him, he never gave up on God. We can't give up on God, even when we're going through. Even when we're going through, we can't give up on God. Sit down and say, Lord, I know you blessed me. We got to have that Jabez spirit. Bless me. Bless me indeed, O Lord, enlarge my territory. But understand, when you ask for that blessing, you got a lot more to give back. God wants us to forget about all the hardships and think about the blessings, because the blessings, I guarantee you, will outweigh all the hardships. I thank God for his grace. And yeah, I'm getting filled up, because when I think about the goodness of the Lord and all that he has done for me, I can't help but say hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Even in my mess, God blesses me. In the good times, God blesses me. In the bad times, God blesses me. Hallelujah. In the midnight hour when I want to cry, God blesses me. We got to thank God for the blessings. Don't get so caught up in the hardship that you forget to thank God for the blessings. Hallelujah. Y'all know y'all's host gets filled up. Stanley says, try to imagine how God could use negative circumstances to glorify himself. Could he use the death of a loved one to get a lost person thinking about the meaning of life? Yes, he did. Could he use the loss of a job to help you focus on him and find out how you can experience his best? Yes, he did. I'm speaking for myself. Could he use an illness to give you the opportunity to minister the sick souls of your doctors and nurses as they minister to your sick body? Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Second, remember that God's overriding purpose in your life is to glorify him, and that he will use any means necessary to accomplish that. Ask him to change your perspective so that you will see your life circumstances as he does. For example, God has decidedly different viewpoint on the death of believers than we often do. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Psalms 116 and 15. When we begin to see things as he does, we begin to see the truth. And praise once more can find a home on your lips. Hallelujah. I praise you, God, in all things. I trust you, God, in all things. And I say it, Lord, thank you for this day that you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. We got to be glad through the storms, through the rains, through the ups, through the downs, through the good, through the bad. rejoice, and thank God. Third, by exercising your will, make a conscious choice to praise him. David did this. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Psalms 146:2. And that's a great chapter of Psalms to read. Psalms 146:2. But read the whole of Psalms 146 when you get an opportunity. Despite how you may feel, praise really can flow from you like a fountain. Beginning right now, just take a minute and just say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I give you honor. Lord, I give you glory. Lord, I lift up my hands in worship. Lord, you are the absolute. Lord, you are Jehovah Jireh. Lord, you are my provider. Lord, you are Shalom. Lord, you are Elohim. Hallelujah. Lord, you are Yah. Lord, you are absolutely all that I need and more than I could ever ask for. I thank you, God, for all that you are doing in my life. Lord, I thank you for the bad days because they help me appreciate the good days. Lord, I thank you. Ooh, hallelujah. When I'm in need, because it makes me appreciate when I didn't lack. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for all that you are doing in my life. I lift up your name on high, for you are God. You are Yahweh. You are the creator of everything. We got to take a time out and give God praise and say, thank you, Lord. We got to have a look of Stephen as angels giving God grace, giving God mercy, giving God praise. Because when we give God grace, his grace overflows through us. When we ask for mercy and give God mercy by doing what's right, God is so tired of us falling after everything instead of him. Running to the church du jour and the religion du jour and the doctrine du jour, we got to stand on the word of God. We can't follow every Tom, Dick, and Harry claiming to be a pastor, claiming to be a minister, claiming to be this or that, and not know God. Just because you got a theology degree doesn't mean you know God. We got to know him up close and personal, and that comes through prayer, through supplication, through fasting, through studying the word of God. Meditate on it day and night. So I thank you this morning for meditating with me and joining me as we study the word of God. And as before we get out, as always, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, with a word to help you today. And the word for this morning is, you are who God says you are. You can do what God says you can do. Have a wonderful Wednesday, family. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other, in the precious and the holy name of the matchless and awesome Savior, Christ Jesus. And for those that want to know, yes, it is Yeshua. And we thank God for the name of Jesus. We thank God for his holy name. We thank God for who he is. Great and mighty is our God. And I tell you again, I ask the question, who is so great a God is our God? And I give you an answer, nobody greater than our God. Have a blessed day, family. Again, be blessed and know that you are special to God. Don't let anybody knock you off your square today. Have a step in your step and a smile in your heart, knowing that you are surrounded by the Most High God. He has placed a hedge of protection around each and every one of you. Be blessed. It is a wrap. It's time to go to work. Who do we work for? We work for God. Thank you so much, family, and have a great day. It's a wrap.